Amen. Well, tonight, let's look at something else that's going on. Actually, we're going to back up a couple chapters in Daniel. We're going to go to chapter 3. We're going to talk about the three Hebrew boys, and I know this is a discussion. We talk about them all the time, but tonight, slightly different look at this story and what's going on. I just want to pull three words out of a verse here and just capitalize on those for just a few minutes if the Lord had helped me tonight. Hey, I appreciate already today we had Brother Dan, Sister Ange, and I don't know how many of our young folks loaded up, went to Berea College, and passed out information concerning our church, represented us up there, trying to let those kids know that they've got a place here, we'll pick them up, got a van that runs. And so I just really appreciate them taking out of their time. Everybody's tired on Sunday afternoons, but I appreciate them sacrificing that Sunday afternoon nap to try to go reach some young people for us in our town. Amen? We appreciate you all and the work you're doing, Brother and Sister Gibson. We do. We really appreciate you guys. And you're a very, very important part of what God's doing here at Berea Evangelistic Church. Amen. Sure are. So many, you know, when I look around, there's so many different ones of you. And you just, you know, you're the backbone of the church. You make things happen. You do things, whether people ask you to do it or not. You just keep it rolling. And I appreciate you so much. And God knows what you're doing, even when you don't get proper recognition, God knows about your faithfulness. Amen. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If you're physically able, let's stand for just a moment. Verses 17 and 18 in Daniel chapter 3. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Wow, that's positive, isn't it? And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Look at that again. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Lord, help me there. Verse 18, first three words, but if not. I just want to talk about that just a few minutes. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for all that are here. Lord, for the heart and the desire that we have to serve you. And God, I'm praying tonight that you encourage us in this hour that we're living to be ready now for what's going on around us and be prepared to stand for you no matter what the devil throws at us in this hour. In Jesus' mighty name tonight, Lord, I'm asking you to touch, to save, to deliver, to heal, and to restore, that we might be the men and women of God in this moment of time, that we can herald your message and share this gospel relentlessly, Lord, and without hesitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. But if not, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These first three words in verse 18, but if not. That would make a really neat poster, wouldn't it? People would be going, what's that mean? That, I mean, you just write that out. Put that like a poster on the wall or hang it. Maybe you need to write that on a piece of paper and stick that on your refrigerator with some magnets so when you come in the morning. But if not, to remind you of your stance and of what you're going to, no matter what you face today, I'm not going to bow to the devil. I'm not going to give in to his trickery. I'm not going to try to, succumb to whatever he's got to say or do in my life. We've got to make up our mind. Amen. These three words simply mean this: I will do right regardless. I'm going to do what's right no matter what. I'm going to do what's right. That's what they're meaning by. But if not, I'm going to do no matter what happens to me. You can throw me in that fiery furnace. You can leave me out here. You can give me something to eat. You can starve me to death. You can burn me, freeze me, isolate me. But I'm going to serve God no matter what. Our verse records the response of these three Hebrew boys who has refused to bow to the golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar that he had set up and demanded everybody to worship it. He'd already made it clear that if you don't worship this image, you're going to be thrown into that fiery furnace. I want to tell you, not only is this a story tonight or a message tonight to get a hold of us right now about this, but this is also a glance at what you're going to see in the coming days ahead as our nation and other nations around the world begin to succumb to a world leader that wants to demand everybody worships the same. This is a glance into the future. This is a very prophetic chapter. So all chapter 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. All of those prophetic chapters showing you the age and the changes and the things that are coming upon us in many ways. And here we see this world ruler, Nebuchadnezzar, at the time ruled the most of the then known world. And he demanded people to worship one way and one thing only. And we're watching a nation, we're watching our people, we're watching our world begin to turn in that direction dramatically. And here we see as these young people, they're forced to have to bow to something that they disagreed with. How many of those others that were there, just like the three Hebrew boys, there was other Hebrew young men, young ladies that were there. They bowed, but these three had made up their mind they would not bow to that image. They came to a place, they had made a decision, from here on, regardless of what it costs me, I'm going to serve God. Now listen, they got carried away captive like everybody else did. The reason they were off in this land of captivity was because at one point, Jerusalem and all of Israel and Judea, every part of it there, had turned to idolatry and turned its back on God and had been warned over and over and over from God through the prophets that if you don't turn, if you don't repent, if you don't change your ways, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Hezekiah was the man that had, when he was told that he was going to die, he turned his face to the wall, he prayed, sought God with bitter tears, and Isaiah came back with the word from God, because you've prayed, you've sought my face, I've changed my mind, I'm going to give you 15 more years. And one of the first things out of the box that Hezekiah does as making a mistake was he allowed these kings from Babylon and others to come, and he showed them the riches that was in the house of God and in the treasury. And God then sent the man of God to tell him, because you've done this, because you've allowed them that are ungodly, those that are defiled, those that do not appreciate God Almighty, you've allowed them into the holy things, you've allowed them to see what is precious, what is holy, what is for God alone. Because of that, they'll be the very ones that'll pack your people off one day. And sure enough, here it is. It's taken place. Here we see that Nebuchadnezzar has came in. He's carried away the children of Israel captive simply because they would not heed the warnings and they would not repent. And over God had tried, but they didn't want to hear what God had said. They said, get away, get rid of that man of God. Get us somebody that'll prophesy us to smooth things. Get us somebody that'll tell us something that we like. Get us somebody that'll make us feel better about ourselves. You can't feel better about yourself if you're operating against God and His will. If you're out of the will of God, you can't feel better. It'd be an indictment against God, His Word, and you if He allowed you to feel good about yourself in that condition. You know, our emotions are not to lead us astray, but we can feel, the conviction of the Holy Ghost as He deals with us about things that are wrong in our lives. He can deal with us about areas that we're letting our guard down on, we're giving in to, or things that we need to lay aside. I've had things in my life that I've heard preachers harp on and all that. And I'd think, well, you know, I'm not just going to give that up because they say so. But I found myself through prayer and reading God's word and studying for myself that the Lord began to deal with me. Maybe it happened to be something that they had said and maybe not. But God was able to deal with me and talk to me and show me things simply because I was hungry to know what He thought about the situation. I don't want to do something on my own that gets me in trouble with God. I don't want to do something that's going to cause me to have gate trouble, so to speak, when it comes time to go to heaven. You don't want to wait till the last minute to find out you've been doing wrong. You don't want to wait till the last minute to find out you assumed wrong. Assumption will destroy you. David said, Lord, forgive me of my presumptuous sin. Why? Because when we presume things, it's when we don't have enough information to really know accurately right or wrong about the circumstance, but we presume we know, and so we speak from our presumption, and in doing so, almost every time we miss the mark, and in doing so, God calls that sin. It will absolutely destroy us, and we do it with our own lives through our emotions. We assume, because we don't feel horrible about this, we assume, we look at it, we say, well, that's not so bad. I don't think it's wrong. It'll be okay. And so we assume we can get by with something that God has blatantly pointed out and dealt with. And if we'll seek His face, He'll show us that. Why would you not want to know? Why would you not want to know? Your not wanting to know speaks concerning your heart more than you realize. And that alone should cause you to go to your knees and say, my God, why am I trying to justify these things? Why am I not willing to go to your word and read and pray and try to find out what you're wanting to say to me? I know we've got all kinds of religious ideas, or you know, everywhere you go. You've got the extreme radical conservatives. You've got the extreme radical liberals. You've got all kinds of ideas, all kinds of, assumptions about God's word and what He's saying. But God's given us the word that we're a blessed nation, folks. We've got more Bibles than any other country on planet Earth. We have no excuse for not being able to read God's word and know it for ourselves. You say, I'm not a good reader. We got it on audio, man. You got a smartphone? I don't know what that means exactly. I assume they're meaning it's a pretty smart rascal. If you got a smartphone, they've got apps that you can download that you, while you're going to work, you can listen to your phone, read the Bible to you. That's pretty smart. I kind of like that. I got one of those myself. I love hearing God's word. I want to know what He's saying. I want to endeavor into the truth because my life depends on it. My life depends on it. Your life depends on the word of God and whether you believe it or disbelieve it, whether you take it for real or not. Amen. There's no situation you're going to run into that if you'll pray and seek God and be patient, that He will not speak to you concerning that circumstance through His word. Amen. Through His word. Bottom line, a quick way to do it is, does this edify God? Does this bring honor to Him? If I do this, if I go there, whatever it is, a part of my life, whatever it is, does this bring honor to God? Does my attitude bring honor to God? Am I a good representative right now? What about the person you're talking to, you're mad at? Are you looking at them as a consideration to see if you can witness to them and save their soul from hell? Maybe if you was thinking about that, you might not smart off to them about the way that they've served you or rung up your food or treated you at the cash register or whatever. Maybe you'd be more careful about what you say or how you say it. Too many times we allow the flesh to take over and disrupt what God is trying to do. Amen. Amen. So we've got to realize here, these three Hebrew boys, they've made up their mind. They've made a decision. When the three young men refused, they said that if they were thrown into the furnace, God would deliver them. That's the first thing they said. The first thing they did was they proclaimed God's delivering power. You got to believe God can deliver you before He'll deliver you. You got to believe He can set you free before He'll set you free. You can talk about, oh, pray for me that God will deliver me. Do you believe He will? You know, we do that all to turn in prayer requests. Pray for this person. Pray for that. Pray for this situation. Then we'll spend more time talking about what the doctor said, what the problem is, how long they've been in that situation, how hooked on the drugs, how hooked on the alcohol, how sick they are to the point doctors don't even know what this thing's called, but pray for them. Man, let's spend more time talking about what God says about the situation. Let's spend more time quoting the Word of God and the Scripture that proclaims that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And if they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven. And man, God's able to do some things. The children of Israel, first of all, proclaimed God is able to. They knew of no one that had ever been delivered from the fire. They knew, there was not another scripture, there was not another example that I'm aware of that they knew anything about where God had ever done anything like they were proclaiming He could do. Now, buddy, that's faith. But what it was, they understood who God was. You've got to understand who God is. He is able to deliver. He wants to deliver. He has delivered and He will deliver again. He's looking for somebody to do it with. He's looking for a man or a woman that'll dare to step out and say, by the grace and help of God, I know He'll do this for me. We're scared to do that because we're afraid then if it doesn't happen, somebody will say, oh, you ain't got no faith. Oh, you're a false prophet. You ain't a false prophet if you stand up and proclaim, hey, I believe God can do this. God's going to deliver me. That's what they said. if they'd have got thrown in that fiery furnace and burned up, and if our Bible would have read and they were threw in and they were burned up, would you quit serving God because they said, we know our God is able to deliver us? Would you quit? Would you say, oh, well, but that's a bad story. What'd they put that in there for? That's negative. It wasn't negative. If they'd have got thrown in and burned up, they'd have died believing God and they'd have went to heaven. Jesus would have still met them in the fire. He'd have let them out the other side instead of the door they went back out. He'd have let them out the other way. They'd have met him on the, they'd have walked on onto the streets of glory. That ain't losing, folks. That's winning in anybody's book. He will. He always makes a way. And that's what they said. He's able. And if he doesn't, we're still not serving you. We're going to serve him if we burn alive in that fire. You've got to make up your mind. I'm going to serve God no matter what. Hallelujah. But if not. But if. That's what I'm preaching about. But if not. Hey, they still would not worship the image. Oh, man. Son, now I'll tell you, when your neck's on the line, it messes with you. Sure. When your neck is on the line, it messes with you. You know one of the best things to do to be prepared for a moment like that? Is pray ahead of time. Have your mind made up before time. Before it all happens, get things right with God. Live for Him. You say, well, I've not done too good this week. Do better next week. Repent today. Get that behind you. Get up and move on. Quit looking back. Quit wallowing down there. If you're down on the ground, pray while you're down there and get up and move on. We gotta keep trying. We gotta keep fighting back. We've gotta keep working toward Christ and allowing Him to be the one that helps us to overcome. Every time I lean on my flesh, I lean on my own understanding, I lean on my own arm of strength, I fail. Because this is not a fleshly war, it is a spiritual war that we're in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. You know the verse. Amen. This is a spiritual warfare that we're in, and we need spiritual strength to get the job done. Yeah. Armor of God, putting that on. You can't see me do that. You might see me go through some kind of motion like I'm doing it, but you can't see. But when I get down to pray, and I'm asking God to suit me up and get me ready for the day. Help me, Lord, guard my mind from the attacks of the enemy. You know what He does? He puts the helmet of salvation on there and tightens it up good and tight. I say, oh God, guard my heart that I'm not, that I'm not do anything or have any ill will inside of me. He puts on that breastplate of righteousness. It gets me all fixed up. I say, oh God, guard where I go and what I walk and get involved in. Where, oh, He gets them shoes of the gospel of peace, put them on there and straps them on. Lord, help me to guard myself against the attacks of the enemy. Oh, there come that shield, slid that right onto my left arm. I'm ready now. And I said, Lord, help me to have Your word, to know what to say to the lost, to the dying, to the sick. And then comes the sword of the Spirit. Hey, all of a sudden, man, I'm suited up. I'm ready to walk out the door and meet the devil head on. Oh, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. Am I a perfect man? No, but a perfect man lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lives inside of me. Oh, here, to have this kind of faithfulness in God. That's what we need, folks. Like these young men, they have faith in God no matter what. It's a comment. Let's see. It is a commitment that we must make to help us to resist the storms, the troubles, the problems that's coming. Everybody's got storms. Everybody's got troubles. Everybody's got trials, problems, circumstances that are impossible to deal with on your own. Everybody's got them. Everybody. Yeah. If you don't, somebody next to you's got them. Somebody in your family does. Somebody around you does. Everybody's got situations and problems. Hey, man, there's a lot of times I'm thinking, oh, man, boy, I'm going through a whole lot of stuff here. I'm struggling. And then I get around somebody else and I realize, man, they're struggling worse than I am. Their problems are, it makes me feel better about mine. I had Brother Buddy Turner call me one time. I just kind of had the mully grubs. You ever had them? I don't know what they look like, but I had one. I'm sure it's not pretty. And I had the mully grubs. I was down a little bit. I was a little concerned about the church. This is a few years ago, going through a few things. And I was flopping around, just worrying and wallowing and all that. He called me up needing encouragement. He's going through them too. He called me up, said, brother, he said, man, I'm just, He said, man, I tell you, I'm going through some tough stuff right here. I've had some people leave. And, you know, he's telling me some things. He said, how's it going over your way? Son, I lit in on him. I started telling him. I didn't let loose of him for 30 minutes. I poured it all out. I got done talking. He said, my God, son. He said, your situation's worse than mine. He said, I feel better now. He said, I called you for encouragement. He said, I didn't think I'd have got it that way. But he said, after hearing your mess, I'm doing good. Hung up on me. He went off. He felt better. Went on. Didn't help me a lick. Huh? You ever been there? Done that? Got the t-shirt? I wear it inside out sometimes. We just got to move on, folks. Get up. Get on about it. Live this life. Let Jesus have reigns. He'll take care of it. Sister Sparks, Brother Sparks, singing that song, the one in the middle. I can't remember which one it was, but it had to do with that. You know, turn it, letting God do the lead and let him do the help. And I stand over there thinking, man, that's the answer to it right there. All the worries, the stress, the fears, the concerns. What are we going to do? What are we going to do as a family? What are we going to do as a church? What are we going to do? And what am I going to do as a minister? Let God do the leading. It's his church. If he's done with it, so am I. Amen. We'll move on down the road, folks. Go somewhere else. But if God's not done, let's make a stand for a change and let God use us in this hour. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for a man or a woman, a young person that'll say, it don't matter what's going on. I'm going to make a stand for God Almighty. Hallelujah. But if you don't deliver me, God, I'm still serving you anyhow. But if not, yeah, let's look at two or three things here. Faithfulness. We got to be faithful, folks. We've got to be faithful no matter what's coming. You can't just serve God when the weather's good. That's a fair weather friend. I can't stand one of them kind. I pray for them, love them, but I sure don't want to lean on them, and I don't want to be one, that's for sure. Amen. A fair weather friend. Some people, they only serve God. They only worship God if everything is going good, if it's going well, if everything is convenient, if it's handy to go to church, if it's handy to be involved with what the church is doing, then they're good. Yep. Whew, faithful, faithful. But if trials and hardships and sickness, enter their life and get involved, suddenly they're not able to make it. They're not able to come. They make, oh, what's going on? You find out they're not faithful. God's allowing things to take place to show them their faithfulness or the lack thereof, that they can make arrangements to change things in their lives. But so many times they choose their desires over God's. You know, I just go tonight, but I just don't feel like it. Man, I wouldn't hardly ever come if I just came when I felt like it. I don't feel good too often. I get up, get out, get to moving around, a mule kicks at you, dog biting, something going on always to make you feel bad and limp around like an old dude. You know, I mean, listen, I'm getting up there. I didn't like the way I sounded. You know, everybody feels bad at some point or another. Sometimes it's your emotions. Sometimes you just can't, you know, man, you're just thinking, oh, I just don't feel like getting out. I don't feel like going on. Go on. That's what you got to do. You just go on. You say, oh, you do that because I did it before I was a pastor. I did it. I came time after time. You did too. If you've been faithful to God, you showed up when you didn't feel like it. Amen. You come to church. You press on in. You keep serving him because you've made up your mind. I'm going to be faithful to God. All you got to do is remember the hole he pulled you out of and what a mess you was before he saved you. And suddenly you'll realize he's more faithful. He's more deserving. He's more loving. I'm going to get up and go on. You talk about getting healed. You talk about getting help. You talk about getting delivered. When you push out and you go on, even when you don't feel like it, God will move for you. But if not, I'm going anyway. I'm going anyway. Hallelujah. Got to keep going. Yeah. Yeah. People like that, there's no but if not in them. No. No. Fair weather. You know, faithful when it's handy. That ain't being faithful. That ain't being faithful. You got to be faithful. What about position? Man, some people love to have position. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll honor God as long as it doesn't affect my position, my status. Status. Yeah. But if I lose any of my status, if people kind of look down on me, if that's threatened a little bit, Hey, you know, I'm going to have to let up on this faith business a little. Hey, look, I'm doing the church a favor by being here. Because a lot of people know me. Okay? And if I do something that messes up my reputation, y'all going to suffer, see, for that. Because I'll suffer. So I got to kind of take care of things, you know, status, position, who you are, who you think you are. Huh? Got to be careful. Your position will destroy you. Your personal position in the community will cause you to be out of position with God. That's a bad place to be, folks. That's a bad place. I'm talking about folks that's got this here, but if not inside of them. But if not. No matter what comes, what goes, I'm going to serve God regardless. Yeah, I'm going to serve God regardless. What about praise? Some people got to have a lot of praise. They got to have folks recognizing them and praising them and thanking them and all that. Popularity and applause are very important to a lot of folk. They will serve God when they'll serve God when people praise and applaud them. But if the praise ceases, they will cease to perform. Wow. I've seen that. I thank the Lord we don't have a big problem with that around here. But I've seen it. I've seen it. When they ain't the top dog, the big cheese, you know, the big kahuna, whatever. If they ain't the main dude, they move on. There's some folks, they won't come to a church where God's called them to. They want to go somewhere where they think they can get in there and have, you know, get some status quo and be looked at and applauded for all their skills and ability. You better go where God's called you to go. You better do what God has called you to do. Prosperity is another thing that hinders a lot of people. Many people readily give in the offering plate when it's convenient, when they're able, when the money's flowing. But just as soon as hard time shows up and money's a little tight, they quit giving. Well, fair weather giver. Somebody that only gives when it's handy. When I have abundance, I'll give some. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows all about that stuff. Because that, you say, God don't need your money. But he knows that that money is hooked to you. And what it does inside your heart and how you handle your money proves your love or lack of love for God Almighty and his cause. These jokers and Jake legs out here and these faith boys, they want to talk about send me your $100. God's going to send you a they're a liar. You stay away from that bunch. You sow money into that. You might as well go to Vegas and hit the slot machine. You bring that tithe into the storehouse, into God's church. You come where people's doing a work for God and you give. You got to know where that money's going. Amen. You come, you can ask. We post that thing out there on the bulletin telling you where the dollar's been spent. All them little tickets, what you call them, receipts, they come in showing where the money's went, what's going on. We ain't trying to hide nothing. The church ain't trying to buy me some big fancy car, and it ain't about embezzlement or nothing like that. Everything's brought in, spent for God's work. Because we have a cause, folks, that's greater than ourselves. Amen. We've got to be careful at what we do with our resources. We've got to be careful with what we do with our resources. We must be faithful to God in every aspect of our life. Are you saying to me that, you know, some people, they get all bent out of shape. You start talking about tithe. Oh, man, that's not even a New Testament thing. You ain't read your New Testament. You know, they get all bent out of shape over the giving thing. They get all bent out of shape over this thing. What's the deal, man? Either God has all of you or he don't. Either he's got every aspect of your life or he doesn't. You mean to tell me there's an area of your life you don't have to surrender to God? Well, where'd you read that in the book? Man, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we give ourselves to the Lord. And everything we touch and everything that we do belongs to him. Amen. Everything. Why? Because I've got to have him when the furnace is burning and I'm about to get thrown in. I've got to have him when I face the trials of life. Everybody faces them. I was riding in a horse show back a few years ago, and I was a little embarrassed. I'd worked very long, hard to get my horse ready, and we'd rode in, you know, and it's my turn. You got all the people sitting around there watching. It's quiet. I'm going to cut a cow out. I'm riding a cutting horse, and we'll cut a cow out and go do my business there with that deal, and everything's quiet, and I'm out there. My heart's pounding out of my chest, and I'm nervous wreck, and I get out and I drop my reins, and the cow moves, and things work good for a minute, and then directly my horse she looked at something else, and she missed the cow, and I lost my cow, and I only had 2.5 minutes. I'd worked for 18 months to get ready for that 2.5 minutes, all right? I tried to get me another cow, and I got nervous now, and I put a little too much nervousness into her. She felt that, and she got scared, and she missed another cow. And so bell rung, and it was time. My time was up. I'm walking out. I'm embarrassed because in the stands are people from home, from the hometown, from back in Kentucky, and all them. They're all up there, you know, at this deal up in Ohio. And I'm all worried, and I'm going out there, and I'm sitting. And my buddy of mine went in there, and he pretty much had the same kind of a wreck as I did. And here we're sitting out there, and one of our friends ride up, a trainer, and we're, man, oh, man, we're feeling stupid, you know, and like we blew it. And he said, boys, and he said, what you so upset? I said, well, all of our people are here, you know. And I had customers up there, you know, potential customers. I want to ride for them and train their horses. And they want, he said, and here's what he said. He said, boys, everybody gets their turn in the tank. Either that or they just sit in the seats. He said, anybody can sit in the grandstands and judge you. It's another thing to get on a horse and compete. And he said, if they do that, they'll get their turn in the tank. Everybody gets their turn in the tank. Everybody goes through trouble if they're going to do something for God. If they're not going to do anything for God, they're sure going to be in trouble. And they may think they're doing great right now, but by running from God, they're in worse shape. Anybody can sit around and tell you how to do something, how to run your life, how to do this, how to do that. But it's another thing to live it yourself. How is it that we can be these people of God He's called us to be, to not fall apart when we face adversity and trouble? Simply this, not only being born again, but being filled with the Holy Ghost, that He can help us to deal with the problems as they come. Amen. Amen. But if not, oh, if I face that trouble, if I face that, if God doesn't heal me tomorrow, if God, I believe God can heal me, but if not, I believe God can deliver me, but if not, I'm going to serve Him anyway. I believe God can save my children, but if not, I'm going to serve Him anyway. I believe God can bring in my family, but if not, I'm going to serve Him anyway. I believe He can bless my finances. But if not, I'm going to serve Him anyway. Amen. Brother Danny Rose, sitting at home, probably watching tonight by Ustream. He's sick. His body is broke down. He's needing a miracle. But obviously, by the way he has served God over the past year, going through all of this, he is one of those but if not kind of guys. Because he's believing God will heal him. But if not, he's going to serve God anyhow. And if you call him up, he'll do more encouraging to you than you will to him. Because he's got his mind made up. He's going to serve God no matter what. We've got to have that determination, folks. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. It's always something we can learn from God in His Word. From simple stories we read over and over. I want to have a but if not attitude. Huh? Amen. Young people, we need you right now to step up. Make that commitment to the Lord. Mom, Dad, this is not a time for us to get tore up and looking back and second guessing everything. This is a time to look to Jesus and press in like we've never done before. This is our hour. This is our time to serve God and to show the world, amen, that God is still real in this hour. That whole country right there, They didn't have God nowhere on their mind until three young men refused to bow. And suddenly, in one afternoon's activity, they witnessed one of the greatest miracles this world has ever seen. Because not only did they not burn up in the fire, the Bible said Jesus showed up in the fire with them. That king said, didn't we throw three in? But I see four, and the fourth is like to the Son of God. How'd he even know who the Son of God was? It's amazing what God will reveal to the lost when you go through the fire. Amen. Altars are open. Let's find a place to pray. Amen. If you've been struggling, you've been going through tough times, come to the altar. Jesus loves you. We'll pray with you. We're here to help you and encourage you tonight. Come on, folks. Come on. Find a place to pray. Come on. Find a place to pray. Come to the Lord tonight. He cares about you. Hallelujah.